You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
Very few of you in here have probably not been asked as a kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? And most of us ask that to kids. It's the craziest stuff. I wonder if kids' answers are different now than they were 30 years ago. Because boys wanted to do boy stuff, and girls wanted to do girl stuff. And so I've quit asking. I don't want to know what you want to be when you grow up. Because it may be awkward going into the next deal. But it's a good question. Because the truth is that all of us know that we're all going to grow up. And sometimes there are developmental challenges. I understand that. But we still expect healthy people to grow up, all right? Most of you don't look like what you look like when you were two. What I need to do after talking about salvation last week, which I think gonna get to meet some of our new family. There were several people saved last week, as I understand it, from parents that have told me, grandparents. And if you're not saved, we wanna introduce you to Jesus this morning. That's kind of what we do. So we ask you to come as you are and quit worrying and fretting. And stop doubting if we go to heaven, and let's be saved. And then after that happens, I believe, we talked about it, it's called the new birth, right? When you become saved, it's the new birth. So just as you grow up after you're born, the natural birth, you know, from your mama, you are expected to grow up. That's just what we do. And so there's things that I fear in the American church that we possibly have missed or messed up as it relates to some of those elementary things. As a matter of fact, let's put Hebrews 6 on the screen, and I want to make a reference here. Now, this is embedded in a real controversial chapter in the book of Hebrews, but it says, let us leave the elementary teaching about Christ and go on to maturity. Now, I'm not taking that verse out of context. I'm simply saying the writer of Hebrews understands that there are some elementary teachings that we all kind of got to get first before we can move on. You try to read the rest of that chapter and you'll understand the difference between being a baby Christian and being a mature Christian is incredibly different because, you know, as you grow, you should be able to approach that chapter with some grounding. Hebrews itself, Romans itself, are all kind of difficult books to understand for elementary teaching. Our goal is to get you to the 12th grade, is to get you mature, but it's going to take some intentional teachings on the basics. And then there's this other one in 1 Peter. We're not sure who wrote Hebrews, but we know Peter wrote Peter. And he says, guys, like newborn infants desire the pure milk of the word so that you may, what? Grow up into your salvation. And so in the New Testament, it wasn't a question about spiritual maturity. That was just part of it. And you know what? The most basic thing that happened right after people got saved, they got baptized. I told them at a conference on Friday night that I had to speak at in Granbury. It's taken the church 2,000 years to really mess up the real Jesus. And so let's dispel some of those things. So in this series, I'm gonna be talking about grownups, but I'm going to give you some very elementary teachings. And I'm not doing this to offend those of you that are pretty smart and pretty sharp in the word. You're real sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So don't let me insult you with this. But again, if you've never been baptized the right way in the right sequence, I hope you'll commit to do that. It's the most basic form of obedience. Number two, if you've done that and you're growing, not perfect, but you're growing, you might use some of this stuff that I'm telling you to sort of teach some of the people that you're discipling or be cautious. You baptize one kid and a whole bunch of kids are going to want to get baptized. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but if you are a discerning teacher, leader, discerning parent, you're going to sniff out whether it's just because they think it's cool to take, you know, to get in the tub. A lot of children, that's the first thing they ask. When the first thing you need to ask as a parent is, well, tell me why you want to be baptized. What does baptism mean? And now let's talk about Jesus and our sin. Because They don't need to be baptized if they don't understand sin and salvation. All right? So here we go. Alan Parr, great speaker, Dr. Alan Parr, and I just want to take this from his book, Misled, but there are four types of people in this room right now. And there's no way you can mess this up. You are one of these four people. Number one is what scripture calls unspiritual. If you want to take notes and write this down, put down this, unsaved. So the first person of the four that you're going to fall into is unsaved. And 2 Corinthians 2 is very explicit, but the person without the Spirit does not receive what comes from God because it sounds stupid to him. He is not able to understand it since it is evaluated spiritually. That's why some of the conversations go sideways for you at work or with unsaved family members, because you're having a conversation about abortion. You're having a conversation about LGBTQ plus, and your worldview is the scripture. And so you understand what scripture has to say about certain things. Well, they don't. Well, that's not their reference point. Then the second type of person that's out there this morning is the baby Christian. 1 Corinthians 3 talks a lot about it. For my part, brothers and sisters, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babies in Christ. You know the problem with that particular group of people? They had been saved a long time. And Paul said, I'm communicating with you as a two-year-old. And here you've been saved, you should be maturing. You should be more like a 10-year-old if you've been saved 10 years. You should be more like a 20-year-old if you've been saved 20 years. Why are there so many divisions in churches? Why do people have church splits? It's because you have an entire congregation of spiritual babies. And I don't know if you've had a baby lately, but they're pretty dang selfish. Always wanting some. Sleep, poop, and eat. Feed me. Spiritual babies. And so you get in these churches and, heck, some of the pastors may be spiritually immature. What do you expect? They're acting like toddlers. Then the third type of person is the carnal Christian. That is in 1 Corinthians 3. I gave you milk, not solid food, since you were not ready for it. In fact, you still ain't ready because you're still worldly. So what that means is something happened in the growth process and it stopped. So these guys are doing well. Corinthians were growing and they understood the Lord better, God's will in their life, those sorts of things. And, you know, they had already been baptized, but somewhere they just stopped growing. Why? Because they made buddies with their sins. So whatever their pet sin was, they just embraced it instead of saying, no, I'm done with it. And they just stopped growing. And then fourth and finally is a mature, growing Christian. Paul calls them the spiritual. 1 Corinthians 2, a spiritual person can evaluate everything, and yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. Go back and look at this. I'm just telling you, there's four types of people, and you are one of those people. There's no escaping it. And so if you are unsaved, be saved. If you're a baby Christian and you have the right to be a baby Christian, every one of you is supposed to be a baby Christian when you are a baby Christian, all right? And so those of you who have recently been saved, you're a baby Christian. And so help us take you to the next level and do everything in your power to work through that, like Paul told the Philippians. You know, if you have decided to embrace your sin more than your love for Jesus, you've stopped. And so you're thinking with your world head instead of your spiritual brain. And then finally, those of us that trying hard, been doing it a while, been saved, was discipled correctly, and again, not perfect. I can't say that over and over. A mature Christian is not a religious checklist kind of person. They follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. They hate the things Jesus hates. They love the things Jesus loves, right? Let's go to Matthew 28. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Now that's what where we're at today. Part of the discipleship process that Jesus laid out was we're going to give them the gospel, and then we're going to baptize them, and then we're going to teach them. So let's clear up a few things this morning on baptism. Number one, what does the word mean? Well, I'll just tell you, the word baptize itself means to submerge, to plunge, or to dip. Dr. David Dykes was here one Sunday, I believe, and he mentioned that, and he said, so the Baptist actually should have been called the dippers. And every one of you here, because you're cross brand, you're thinking Copenhagen. You're not even, I mean, you didn't even get his joke, OK? Okay, this word in the Greek was actually not a religious word at all. It was a word used to describe a piece of cloth dipped in dye to change its color, or when a woman took their dishes and baptized or washed them in the river. And through the years, the word baptized has come to mean something strictly religious, but when it began, it was just an ordinary word meaning to plunge. Now, we're going to talk about some of the misunderstandings about that word baptized. And the mess up didn't happen until after 300. First 300 years of the early church, they were taking people to the river. They were also taking them to, you know, in certain cases, there were pools in the New Testament. And so they were dunking them. They were dipping them. They were plunging them. Constantine, bless his heart, he sees a big giant cross. He thought, could have been wine. And so Constantine makes Christian the official religion of his empire. Problem with that is Jesus never intended it for Christianity to be forced on anybody or to be an institution. Never, never, never. So here's what's happening. There was a shift in structure. So instead of being truly Christian, you had the church that said, we've got one main pastor, and that's the Pope. I'll just quote directly from David. As the church grew, the doctrine developed in the church. This is right around 313, I think, AD. Salvation is only through the church, and the only way to get into the church is to evangelize the world. And how'd they do that? It was through baptism. So if you want to go to heaven, you got to get baptized. But what happens if Pope comes to see you on the battlefield? Well, they didn't have time for scriptural baptism. They had time for sprinkling. And so a lot of times they would just throw water on the troops that were going into battle. And again, it had to be administered by a priest. Didn't take us long. We just, 300 and something years after Christ went back to heaven. That's pretty quick to mess up the concept of what really baptism is. And a lot of you would say, well, no. I've sprinkled. Okay. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the word sprinkle actually has its own word in Greek. And guys, when we're told to baptize, that's not what it's telling us. If it would have meant to be sprinkled, it would have said sprinkled. And I have great friends that are ministers in churches that still sprinkle. They do infant baptism. They know I disagree. And, you know, the reformers, when they came along, and then ultimately where a lot of change happened was in the 1600s. So Mary, Queen of Scots, I think I got this right, had a son. His name was King James. And so King James said, I want people to, you know, be able to read the Bible in their own language. So when they begin to translate, the translators, probably great people, but they noticed some boo-boos the way the church was presenting the idea of baptism. And one of the reasons that even in some of your early King James Bibles, the translators got a little liberal and a little loose, because if they had put down immerse or baptize, that would have been an indictment on King James, because he had not been saved through grace. He had done the priest thing, and then he had been sprinkled. And so they would have indicted him, and it would have been awkward. Trust me, you didn't want to make the king mad. Now, Matthew 3:6, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, not around the Jordan or water slung out of the Jordan, in the Jordan. And even Jesus, in Matthew 3:16, when he was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. Again, to dip, plunge, to immerse. Have you been baptized? The only time I've nearly got whooped at Cross Brand, which would be much easier now than it was 20 years ago, was over baptism. I made a guy so mad, and he's a big old boy, and he informed me that he had been baptized. And I said, well, define baptism. He said, well, I was sprinkled as a child. And I go, can you explain why you think that's scriptural? Well, my mom, and I go, whoa, I can't argue with my mom. How do I even argue with that line of logic? When should baptism occur? Baptism should happen right after salvation. Acts chapter 2, those who accepted his message were baptized. They got saved and is baptized. Chapter 8, verse 12, when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Just remember, do not confuse salvation. I said this last week. Don't confuse salvation with baptism. Boy, my daddy, and the older he gets, the less tact, the less control he has on stuff that comes out of his mouth. Most people, you have a screen door between your brain and your mouth. Dad's disappeared in his 60s, and now it's even worse. And so he used to always tell his Church of Christ friends, Church of Christ preacher friends, who do, some of the old school Church of Christ believe that you have to be baptized and come to faith. And I know there's people here, the general, Miss Lonell, she came out of a strict old-timey Church of Christ. However, you've got some of the now liberals in the Church of Christ that now don't believe that. And I'm just telling you, remember, when you get to heaven and they're giving you a tour, whoever's giving you a tour says, shh, be quiet. That's the old Church of Christ, and they think they're the only ones here. So, and here's what my dad would use. He didn't even try the scripture. He just wanted to be a smart aleck. He says, he talking to one of his Church of Christ friends, and he said, you know what y'all's main song is? You know what the Baptists love? They love At the Cross. The song, at the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. Dad said, Church of Christ, you know what yours is? At the creek, where I first saw the light. Granddad said, no, don't change the song. Salvation. You ain't got nothing to do with your salvation except saying yes. And I say that because so many people, as you heard last week, put the cart before the horse. They got baptized, and for some reason that counts as their salvation. And it does not. Ephesians chapter 2, we're saved by grace through faith. Then it ain't of yourselves. And I will tell you this. Lots of people ask me, well, that believe that baptism is part of the process. To me, that's the most graceless thing you can say to anybody. If I'm on a plane and we're going to crash, I'm going to stand up and preach. I'm going to stand up and preach. Or should I just not mess with it? If you believe baptism and faith are necessary to go to heaven, then you would just need to tell me, sit down, it's useless. We're going to crash in 5 minutes and there is no place to baptize these people. That is the most graceless idea I've ever heard in my life. Jesus didn't baptize the thief on the cross. There will be many infants that have died. They have passed away in their mommy's tummy. And I'm telling you, they get baptized. I believe with everything in me that they're in heaven now. I do. So guys, just understand, Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's don't add one extra step such as baptism to that concept. And another thing that John MacArthur pointed out that I love, he says, Paul didn't brag about the people he baptized. Paul says, at one point, he says, I thank God I only baptize such and such and such and such. Which means, John MacArthur pointed out, if baptism was what saved people, why didn't Paul just set it on fire and go do it? Just burn the road up, you know? Dunking don't save. So, why should we be baptized? Let me just lay this out really, really simple. Number one, some of you are bored because this is really simple. I told you, elementary. We got to grow up though. Why should we be baptized? Number one, it's an act of obedience. Jesus said, literally, it is the right thing to do. Now, I gave you the wrong scripture. I apologize. Matthew 3 is the better place to go. Matthew 3, verses 14 and 15. Jesus said, you're going to baptize me. John went into that defense mode and said, no, I can't. No, uh-uh. Jesus said, yes, you are. In verse 15, Jesus said, this is why. Because it is the right thing to do. So Jesus is already laying out an example for us to follow. And guys, I'm telling you, if you call yourself a Jesus follower, you need to be scripturally baptized, plain and simple. And Max Lucado, who incidentally is part of the Church of Christ, that's not a very good one now. Max Lucado is a great human and a great pastor, and I trust him. If I give you his stuff, I trust him. But he says, you know, baptism separates the tire kickers from the car buyers. And that's basically an excellent. Number two, it's an act of identification. It's a rebranding, so to speak. And, you know, Paul had said to the Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And so what we're going to do is we're going to let you know that I am changing sides. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Gosh, and it's such a beautiful picture of what just happened. And again, there's no power in the water. I've never seen sin floaties. Let your grandkid drink out of your drink, you'll understand floaties. But none of those happen in this tub over here, because that's not part of it. It is also actually your first step of telling. Now, I love it when people get saved and begin to share that word with their families and their friends. I love that. It's good. But you are telling us, I'm a new person, and Jesus did it. That is why we try to get your testimony, at least a portion of it, whether you say it or you write it and we read it. We want you to have an opportunity for God to bless you and being bold and standing for your faith. It's an act of witnessing. And I'm telling you, every time we baptize, people question. Did I do it when it was the right time? Matter of fact, let me give you some of the questions you'll probably ask yourself even today. What if I'm saved? Come on, Mike, it's yours. If I'm saved and do not get baptized. All right. You're going to heaven. However, let me ask you a few questions. If you have been saved and are not willing to be immersed, number one, are you ashamed of Jesus? And a lot of you have chronic panic attacks with crowds. And so you know what we do? See, the rule with baptism is it needs to be public, all right? It don't have to be 1,100 people, though. And so many of you that have these panic attacks, we'll baptize after church. And we just ask that you ask your people, your family, maybe a few friends. Where's Jose? We baptized Jose on was it a Sunday or Wednesday? Baptized him after church on a Wednesday due to his work schedule, and it was awesome. His family was here, his friends were here, but guys, we're not trying to make this difficult. I have baptized at your home. I have baptized, luckily, I've not been asked to baptize in a swimming pool, but I would. And I'll wear my short britches. Jeff, where do you baptize at boot camp? In a creek. Guys, we're not trying to make this difficult. I'm just asking you, are you ashamed of Jesus? Because there's a problem. In Matthew chapter 10, everyone who will acknowledge me before others, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. There's something going on. If you're not willing to be publicly baptized in some form of your public, are we too prideful? And James, let me tell you where this comes in. If you're too prideful to follow the most basic act of obedience, Jesus said, do this. Man, you are already starting your relationship off with Jesus bad. What if on your honeymoon you roll over and go, good Lord, that's a bad start, guys. I can tell you right now, you need to go ahead and put your counselor on speed dial at that point. I think it's just like with Jesus. And so also, guys, one final thing, and I think this needs to be answered, and this should help a lot of you in here. Should you be ever rebaptized? I can give you some scenarios. Number one, yes, if you were saved after you were baptized, let's do it in the right sequence. If you were saved after you were baptized, which happened to a lot of people, a lot, right, Paul? Right, Bobby? This, we've seen it across brand. You sit down and talk to us, and you'll tell me, and I ask you, are you saved? And you go, yeah, I got saved in 1995. Or were you baptized like Jesus was? Yeah, in 1980. I ain't good at math, but that's off. And so, yes, let us baptize you. And then B, I want to show you something. If you never had a choice when you were baptized, for instance, many of you, the infant, you know, as infants you were sprinkled. Well, sprinkling isn't dipping or plunging, so that's wrong to begin with. But especially if you had no say on it. So let's look at some of these things. Sometimes now I'm saying he don't have a choice, but. What if you were forced by mama? It's the church lady. Y'all remember old Dana? Saturday Night Live, yeah. So maybe you were baptized as an infant, sprinkled as an infant, or maybe as a child, like so many good intentions moms, you know, they tell the kid, well, hey, you're going to wear these clothes this Sunday because I've already arranged for you to be baptized. That's not your choice. That is not your choice if you were forced by someone else. And then finally, there's another reason. And this is my last one, is if you were never baptized the way Jesus was, and ultimately, if you were you were saved, and you came to faith, your life has changed, you are growing, but the particular religious context, denominational context you were saved in, they don't baptize. They sprinkle. Or, like one cowboy church out west informed me that they didn't baptize at all. They said, well, why should we? Of course, the guy was a jerk. I mean, he's the meanest pastor in Texas. And he said, well, we're meeting at this place, and we'd have to bring in a tank, and why mess with it if it's not part of the salvation process? And I would love to believe that he has changed his mind and really looks at scripture, because it is important. I close with this. Again, Max Lucado, just as a wedding celebrates the fusion of two hearts, baptism celebrates the union of a sinner with a Savior. Many ways to look at it, but that is perfect. That is perfect. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful church. I love this family. I ask, Father, that you will do something with some hearts. You know, the folks that don't know you, I pray that they'll come to faith this morning, either where they sit or they'll come down and our prayer partners will help them. I also pray for the believers in this room that have not done the most basic step of obedience. Lord, I just pray you'll, don't let them be prideful. Father, break our pride if that's the reason they're not gonna be baptized. Before you walk out, if you're here this morning, Father, I thank you so much for that young man that listened to one line. If he just listened to one line, the one line he caught last week was this, and he got saved, was, if you are in this building and you're not 100% sure where you will go when you die, you need to be saved today. And I thank you for that young man that will be baptizing with his father later. I ask this morning, though, that if there's someone here that isn't sure about their salvation, or they are sure that they're not saved, I pray that right where they sit or coming down front, that they'd say, Jesus, I'm a mess. I'm a sinner. Admit it. I need help. Please change and save me Lord. Father, we thank you and we celebrate hope through Christ Jesus. Amen.